This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
White has the ball, holds it high, throws it to Brown, left wing, stripped by Bridges, hangs onto it, took it away, throws it down court, and the New York Knicks stun the Celtics. 108-105, the final. The Knicks saved their biggest comeback of the season for the biggest win of the year.
Look, I know that there is a ton of basketball bitterness in DFW, but try not to miss out on these NBA playoffs. Last night was amazing once again as Jalen Brunson and New York come back from down 20 and take out the Celtics in overtime. And then Aaron Gordon hits the three to stun the Oklahoma City Thunder. Both road teams win last night. Good morning, Metroplex. It's Sean, RJ, and Bobby here on a rainy Tolo Tuesday here on DFW Sports Station.
It's like they're following the NFL model of like close games are good games, whether they're it's good or not.
Yeah.
Because like you could look at the Knicks-Celtics game and say, look, that's a close, that's an entertaining finish, but that's also exactly the reason why I don't watch the sport anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like that one game. I think overall the NBA playoffs
but it is the 3-point barrage and missing 45 threes is maddening. You know, Tatum 4-for-15, Brown 1-for-10, Holiday 2-for-7, Derek White was the best one 5-of-16, Pritchard 2-for-5, Horford 1-for-5.
Well, it's like a 16-13 playoff game, a regular season 16-13. Ugh, what else is on?
Yeah.
I don't know. 16-13 is. Two defenses grinding it out in playoff conditions.
Yeah, you're getting close games, and that's great. Like you will take it because the last few years with the playoffs, it's been blowout after blowout after blowout, and it would alternate. Like you would have no rhyme or reason, and it's just all this team's on tonight, that team's off. Well, there's your blowout.
One of the things I love the most about these crowds are college crowds. I love NBA playoff crowds. OKC is a top seed. We know when we went, God knows
Golden
how many. Golden State.
Toronto
Boston.
Used to be.
There's no other home game I love watching more than at the Garden. Mm-hmm. Love it. I can't wait for game three at the Garden. Denver can be good as well, mm-hmm. but these crowds are madhouses that remind me of college.
Yeah, I mean, that was a big part of what Ballmer was trying to achieve when they were adjusting the Clippers arena.
To build the wall!
Yeah, he wanted to build the wall, the wall of fans there. And the big thing there was just creating college atmosphere for L.A. crowds.
Because
L.A. crowds are not typically the same like rambunctious ones that you're going to get elsewhere. But
when he yelled out, toilets!
We got toilets!
We got toilets!
Voice cracking. No, I mean, like, this is a really good setup for... I thought Minnesota was pretty strong last year when Dallas wouldn't play there. I thought that was a pretty strong environment.
Yeah.
So you've got Minnesota, Golden State, Denver. Like, these are Oklahoma City, Boston, New York. Like, these are really good crowd setups. I don't know about Cleveland and Indiana. They don't pop in my head like that. But, I mean, these are really good environments.
Is this old school basketball disrespect? I probably like talking old school NBA more than any other sport when we're getting into Hall of Fame discussions or Greg Popovich and stuff like that. This is Jay Williams on ESPN talking about Jalen Brunson. This is before last night.
I said it last year, and I'm going to say it again. And I know that he has to close the deal and win a championship. A lot of that is roster construction, the right pieces. I don't think they're actually going to have a chance against the Boston Celtics. But I think we are watching the greatest Nick ever to play in that Nick uniform. I firmly
ever.
Believe that.
Ever.
He embodies everything that I think
all
the Knicks.
Clyde Frazier.
He has a chance to become.
Before said and done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think we will be talking about over. Him in that capacity.
What? Bobby's face. Bill Simmons tweeted to this video and said, I don't even know what to do when people on TV say stuff like this anymore.
Like, is he forgetting?
And Jay Williams usually, I don't think, is one of these hot take artists.
I don't know.
This might have to be nominated for worst take on Friday.
It's definitely going to be in there. He stands out to me as a guy who, I mean, the thing that always rings in my ears now with Jay Williams whenever I hear him brought up is the fact that, remember when he was complaining last year about, like, we really shouldn't be doing Mount Rushmores of sports. That's pretty stupid. And just his whole, he strikes me as self-important, just like he was at Duke. And so, I'm not a Jay Williams fan. But, like, is he forgetting, like, people have literal conspiracies because Patrick Ewing was so great that, like, the Knicks were fed him as a player. Or, like, I mean, they mentioned Walt Clyde Frazier, but, I mean, you've
Earl
also
Monroe,
got.
Earl Monroe? Yeah. DeBuscher? Can we get Allen Houston?
Phil Jackson?
Yeah, Allen Houston.
Well, he's better and going to be better than Allen Houston.
But Brunson
opinion.
Is. Nobody is going to think of Brunson as greater than Patrick Ewing when
no,
he's done.
No.
That's not going to happen.
And Jay Williams isn't. I mean, he's my age. He's 43. Like, we grew up with the 90s playoffs.
Yeah, it's. Come on. Like, that's a bad take. That's
now,
a bad
what
take.
If he.
He played.
I've also heard people say that the Brunson shot against Detroit in game six was a
Jordan Byron Russell.
No, they were saying it was like the greatest shot in Knicks history. And I'm like, we remember Larry Johnson's 4-point play
or Willis Reed
or Allen Houston's 78 bounce shot against Miami.
Oh yeah.
There's Ewing to
Starks
send him to the
may
finals.
Hit a few.
Starks.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah. So, but he tried to qualify it. If he wins a championship and Jalen Brunson, fantastic. Some Maverick sting right there, but we all disagree with that.
That's just that's a nonsense. Like, that is just, hey, do we need a topic for today? What do you got, Jay? Like, I can say Jalen Brunson's the greatest Knick of all time. Great, do it. Say it right now.
All right.
That's a bad franchise, then, if he's the greatest of all time.
Little it more, is kind of a bad franchise.
Little more salt in the wound. Tim McMahon says Luka is now fully committed to the Lakers. Quote, his heart was broken, but he's fully committed to L.A. His goal now is to win championships with that franchise. So some Mavs fans are holding out hope. My father-in-law kept telling me, I'm telling you, Luka's coming back. Luka's coming back here. There was that video of him leaving this L.A. dinner with J.J. Redick and Rob Pelinka. Rob Pelinka has like a notebook, and they're walking out. Luka did not look happy walking out of that. He couldn't get into his vehicle. I'm like, okay, was this the dinner where they sit down and it's nothing but like edamame and different salads? And they're like, this right here is your future. These salads, these vegetables are what you need to be eating moving forward. I don't know what was said. I assume it was, here's the different ways we want to offer you a max contract.
Because there was no doggy bag.
There was no doggy bag. That's right.
It does make me, like, I think a lot of the, he's clearly still not over leaving Dallas, no matter what he says. I'm like, oh, I'm focused on this or that. So I'm sure part of these negotiations are naturally going to be upsetting because he's going to be thinking about, like, this should have been in Dallas. And knowing how much money he missed out on.
And he said he was mentally exhausted.
He did say that. He said he was exhausted during the playoffs, and that was part of the reason why he, you know, not that he didn't play well, but they didn't win. And look, there's no excuse for him to be gassed in a game. Now, when you play 46 minutes, there is an excuse.
Yeah, what if you don't get a sub?
Yeah, if you don't get a sub, there is an excuse.
Oh, I think Bridges last night played like 51 minutes or something.
Yeah, he's the Iron Man, Bridges.
But you've got to be ready to do your job. But, you know, look, it happens. It happens when you have an off day. But I can absolutely see how this entire second half of the year took a mental toll on him. But there's no doubt about it. He had to be mentally exhausted.
Kendrick Perkins deciding to continue his Luka hate when the whole conditioning thing was brought back up again.
Luka Doncic is the worst defensive star that we've seen in the modern era of basketball.
Period. Bam. 10 seconds. Look, the Luka conditioning thing comes down to this for me. Do I think he's in his prime physical shape? No, I do not. Now, the counter to that is, so what? He's 28, 8, and 8. Who cares? The question that has to be asked is, if Luka was in his prime physical shape, how much better could he be? And could that difference in improvement take the Lakers to another level? That's what it's all about. Are you fulfilling your maximum potential? That's the way I look at it. I don't just say, now for the purpose of the Mavs trade, I say, hey, 28, 8, and 8, who cares? But for the purposes of Luka's potential, Shaq had seasons where he was in physical prime peak shape. The beginning of Phil, early on Orlando, mm-hmm. when he was a skinny kid coming out of college. Luka, to me, looked like he did lack quickness. It seems like he's just becoming a three-point or bust shooter in a lot of instances. When he came back here to the AAC, he was driving inside and getting layups. But, man, some of them early Luka videos, I actually thought that they were sped up, that they were fake.
Yeah.
Like, they came out over the weekend or late last week, and I was like, whoa, who's that? Someone's altering this video. He needs to get a little bit of quickness back, in my opinion.
I also think he is getting worn down by the usage.
Yeah.
Like, and so, like,
he's going to play, I think, again, Euroball this summer.
Part of it is, yeah, being out of shape. That's a big part of it. The other part of, or not being in peak shape, yeah. like you say. That's part of it. The other part of it is the high usage rate. Like, you watch Dirk, when you watch highlights of Dirk at 20, holy cow, it doesn't even look like the same guy. Like, Dirk became a lumbering player by the time he was 25, basically. So, I mean, it's the same sort of thing, I think, where the usage just starts kind of breaking you down a little bit. But, man, for Kendrick Perkins to throw out worst defensive star of all time when he played with James Harden.
Yeah.
Like, he knows how bad James Harden was.
That's true.
Yeah. And look, I mean, maybe for Luka playing Euro ball actually keeps him in shape. Maybe they want him to.
Right.
You know, but we saw, you were talking, I saw the same videos you were talking about. He looked half the size, too. American food, obviously, is crap.
Well, tell us about Switzerland.
Yeah. Oh, you can't even, when you buy a Happy Meal in Switzerland or any kind of McDonald's, first of all, it's like $30. But they don't use any, it has to be stuff made there. They don't use any stuff made in America.
Did you buy one?
I don't know. We went on a tour. Right, the tour guy was like, the McDonald's here is great. Tastes nothing like America. It's so much better because they don't allow any American food there. Has to be made in Switzerland.
Was it the same type of combo?
A lot of the stuff was the same. They had their own stuff too. I don't remember what it was, but they had a lot of the stuff was the same. But it's all like premium quality.
Yeah.
By the way, you missed last week while you were out when he was telling his story about not getting into the Roman Colosseum. This man pulled a Kurt Cignetti and told the guard, "Google me."
They said they
didn't know who he was. He's like, Google search.
They said, because they said your name on the ticket doesn't match your passport. And I'm like, yeah, I know. This isn't an airline, right? I wouldn't put my real name on anything. And they said, well, do you have any documentation that shows your name is RJ with your picture? I said, yeah, Google me.
And did you show him the phone?
There was like no cell service. So they couldn't even do it. I tried on my phone, on Sarah's phone. They tried on their phone. Nothing. They couldn't do it.
Yesterday, the Spurs introduced Mitch Johnson as the successor to Greg Popovich. Man, Pop looked rough. Mm-hmm. I tried to just tweet about Tim Duncan's hair. And I didn't want to say anything about Popovich, but, man, you could see the stroke in his eyes, the way he was walking. He said he's getting better day by day, which is great. He's going to be team president. He had an awesome shirt that said, I'm no longer coach, I'm El Jefe. So refer to me as that. But, man, it was pretty. I thought that was the big takeaway yesterday. It was pretty sad to see Pop like that.
Yeah, I mean, he's 76, and what, he for sure had the one stroke,
yeah.
and then after that there was another medical episode recently. I don't know if he had a second stroke, but I mean, he's had the medical issues. He's already 76, so yeah. I mean, I was kind of anticipating, all right, if it's bad enough that he's walking away, like he's probably struggling a little bit, and that's what it looked like. It was sad to see him up there yesterday.
No way he could coach a basketball season in yesterday's shape.
I did love, though, like you mentioned in there, Duncan, so I did love that all the current Spurs, yes, were out there to walk him out. All the
felt
old
like
Spurs,
a family.
Yeah, like that was a family thing yesterday.
Wemby, Tim, David, Manu. I don't know if I saw Tony, but they were all there in full support and the Rookie of the Year on top of it. So it's Sean, RJ, and Bobby, Tolo Tuesday edition. The commercial-free expressway is next. No reason to turn the radio anywhere, especially when we hook you up with Dierks Bentley tickets. And the smear campaign continues against the Dallas Cowboys quarterback. Commercial-free with a concert ticket hookup after this. Good morning, Metroplex. In case you did not know, you're new to town or you're just skimming through the dials, we are your official home of the Dallas Cowboys and the Texas Rangers. Choppy will have Diamond Cavs with friend of the show, Brett Boone, being hired as the new hitting coach. We'll bring you all the latest on that at 8 o'clock this morning. We have a Dierks Bentley ticket giveaway, and we have a Cowboys insider. His name is Bobby Belt, as the smear campaign continues. We've been trying to now figure this out for a couple of months. Which one was the diva or the quarterback problem in New England between Drake May and our new backup?
Joe Milton. And that is right, because there's Greg Bedard, who is a Patriots insider, said on his podcast regarding Joe Milton and Drake May that Joe is not a good dude.
Joe Milton was, and this is like direct quotes from somebody in the organization, not a good dude and not conducive to a good quarterback room. I'm not saying he's a, I think they meant, they did say that, but I think they just meant in terms of, you know, knowing your role, playing your role, you know, being part of a harmonious quarterback room, that was going to be an issue. And it wasn't about Drake May. It was just about the room.
Two things here. Number one, you have certain people in New England trying to justify this because Patriot fans were not happy with this return. We all celebrated it here in DFW. We're like, oh my God, the Cowboys finally pulled off a good move. We like that for the potential. So you have that part of it. Then you have, I'm sure, Patriots people trying to smear Milton and justify it on their end. Then you have people who are trying to protect Drake May, the new franchise, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone is in love with Drake May. That was Bobby's guy last year. You have other reports saying, well, Drake May, a little insecure. He didn't want anyone in there threatening him. The Patriots front office has said Drake May needs to take a step forward this year in leadership. So I don't know what to believe. You've said from what you heard at your alma mater, Joe Milton, good dude, calm, cool, chill. But now you have these reports back and forth.
Yeah, I asked somebody within the league about this when the stuff first started leaking out after the trade that, like, maybe he was a problem. And I was just told, like, I haven't heard that, but it wouldn't surprise me. Like, not that he's a bad dude, but, like, he's competitive and he's going to, you know, he's not going to say, like, oh, you're just entitled to your spot as the number two pick or number three pick, whatever he was. The idea would be for Joe Milton, he could absolutely see him being like, if I'm playing better, I need to play. It doesn't matter where that guy was drafted. Yeah. If I'm playing better right now, I should be out there. And it's just, it doesn't work like that in the NFL. When they've invested in that guy and they want him to play right now and get going as quickly as possible, he's going to go out there.
Well, right. I mean, you can't have a vice president who thinks they should be president.
Yeah.
Right? You know, like that's, we may or may not have had that once 60 years ago. At least. But you know what I mean? Like
60?
Well, but there's rumors, right? You know, there's always been rumors about that one incident. And it happens, right? That you can't have that. You want to have a VP who has no aspirations of being president. And here, you want a backup? Now, I don't like that. I want a backup who absolutely thinks they can be the starter and thinks they should be the starter. I don't think that makes for a toxic quarterback room. I think that makes for a healthy quarterback room.
Ooh, see, I do disagree. Like, I think generally at most positions, I do want competitiveness. I want guys fighting. Quarterback, like, that's got to be the guy.
It was toxic with Aikman and Walsh, they said.
Young Montana got really toxic.
Rodgers, Favre. I don't know if you have a lot of examples where it was not bad blood, unless the guy is definitely almost on his way. Roethlisberger was petty.
Yeah. You have petty. But now listen, Walsh and Aikman, they were young. Troy was not established.
May and Milton are young.
Yeah, right. So I get that. But, like, if you had, let's say you had a hot shot behind Tom Brady, that's healthy, man. Tommy, it's Tom's job. He's not losing it. Come and take it. Come and take it.
But they shipped Garoppolo out.
They did. They shipped him out.
All these examples, the younger person or one of the competitors.
Yeah, I
showing it was not a good relationship.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I would say I like the healthy competition. Come and take it. You know, like that's how it should work in a vacuum.
So I don't know if you all discussed this. I'm sure you did last week, but I thought the Cowboys blew an opportunity to get Shedeur Sanders. If you're all about true football decisions and value, there was no reason not to go ahead and make a move and pick him up, in my opinion. And I was laughing at Shedeur dropping.
When?
When
did you want him to get him?
In the fifth?
Didn't he go before they're picking the fifth?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know how much you've said on the radio, but you've texted me certain things.
I think if he would have been there at their pick, they were taking him.
Okay, and I would have been fine if they moved up in the fifth to jump to take him.
And I think they would have, so I think they probably would have explored it. They may have, I don't know if they did. I don't know if they explored a move up, but I'm guessing just with, they decided not to based on, all right, let's just see where things fall because, you know, the cost to move up is prohibitive and we don't want to jump
and
up.
And I would have been fine taking him in the fourth.
Well, yeah, that's you got Jonathan Mingo. And so when you got Mingo, and now if they would have been in the third round, maybe they take him in the third round, if not for Revelle, because Revelle's just was such a highly graded player for them. But I don't know where exactly they had him in the stack. I just know those top three they got were so high up for them.
Yeah.
That I think if he was there in the fifth round, if he would have been there where they picked Jaden Blue, I think they're taking Shedeur.
Well, they should have moved up, and they should have given up something to move up in order to get him.
That's fair.
What grade do you think they had on him? Do you think it was a third?
Yeah, I would guess probably a third.
You think it was a third round pick?
I don't know, but that's my guess.
I'm going under the premise that they had him as maybe a second. And it just made too much sense with the Deion Jerry noise working here better than other places. Dak's injury and age. It was a golden. I thought it was a golden opportunity to do it.
Here's my initial thought is no, because you're not getting the main number one benefit of a rookie quarterback contract.
You might. You might when number four goes down, if he does.
Okay, but you're not getting the financial savings of a cheat code.
You might if number four goes down.
But you can't because Dak still got too much money on his contract. You have 2 years. So that you would basically only get a two-year quarterback cheat code.
Okay.
Because he's not getting the fifth year because he wouldn't be a first-round pick.
Yeah.
And you have what? It was at least 2 years before you could walk away from Dak. And even when you walk away from him then, you're not getting the full savings. So in order to get that quarterback cheat code, you really need to stink and have it reset.
I'll say if they hadn't traded for Joe Milton, they may have gone up. Like they may have been willing to pay a tax to say, all right, let's go up there and get him. I think just once you have Milton in tow, it's like, yeah, if he gets to us in the fifth, the value's too great, but do we want to sacrifice capital when we just sacrificed capital to get this quarterback?
For your next potential franchise quarterback, the answer is absolutely yes. Depending on where they had him. If they viewed him as a backup, then no. We'll get into Quinn Ewers coming up at 8:40. But that was my hot draft take. I was like, okay, this is all funny and everything, but now the value is too obvious to ignore.
I think if they had a fourth, they'd probably take him in the fourth. That's what I think probably happens.
Yeah. I was hoping for it for multiple reasons. My own selfish wallet purposes being number one. 877-881-1053, Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line. You think the Cowboys' schedule is working against them?
Might. So last year, if you went and looked at the Cowboys' schedule last year, and based on who they played, just use the win totals. Just use the win totals from this year's projected win totals that came out from BetMGM on Sunday. And then you use last year's schedule. The Cowboys will face, you know, just two teams this year that have a lower win total projection than they do. Just two.
And they're currently favored in what, one game?
They're favored in one game currently, Sean. They're only favored in one game right now, next year. They have a pick'em in about four or five. But those will not be a pick'em at the time of the season starts. But right now, the only game they're clearly favored in is a three-point game at home against the Giants. But if you look at it and if you said the same thing and took the same schedule from last year with everybody's win total this year, Cowboys would have had been six favored in six games already. That's how much different this season is than last year, and how much more difficult playing the AFC West and the NFC North is from playing last year's. What they played the NFC South and the AFC North or whatever, right?
They had that G-bag schedule.
They did.
He beat me. Beat me to it.
So this year's schedule is three times as hard when you factor in the amount of teams that they have a higher win total projection of them.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
That's and what's that Vegas over-under? I was
7.5.
Oh! 7.5.
The other teams that are 7.5, New England, Jacksonville and Indy, Seattle, Atlanta. The Bears have a higher win total. The Bears win total is at 8.5. Yeah, Miami, Pittsburgh, they're at 8.5. And then Arizona is at 8.5 as well.
Yeah, I mean, teams I expect to be good next year, there's a ton of them on Dallas' schedule. Chicago, Philly, Washington, Green Bay, Minnesota, Kansas City, the Chargers, the Broncos, the Lions. Who knows about what you could get from the Cardinals, depending on how well Kyler Murray plays. But, I mean, they've got an absolutely ridiculous schedule.
Cardinals have the Cowboys' number as well. All right, it is 7 o'clock Expressway, commercial-free. Also, the place where we hook you up. We're going to do it at 9 as well. We got a brand-new Peyton Russell segment at 8:20 at the request of the Tolos. So let's let Peyton hook you up now. What was I
thinking? All right, Tolos, that's right. Right now, call in number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a pair of tickets to see Dirk Bentley on Friday, May 30th at the Dos Equis Pavilion. That's call in number 10 at 877-881-1053.
This HOV portion of the Expressway is driven by Mercedes-Benz of Plano. The Tolos labeled this their number one favorite segment of the program. Let's ask Reddit.
Do you have a question, Kelly?
Yeah, I have a lot of questions. Number one, how dare you?
That's right. It is time for Ask Reddit here on 105 Through the Fan. We do it every Tuesday where we kick around the most viral questions being asked over on the Ask Reddit forum every week. We get your answers on the fan cam at YouTube and Twitch and on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorneys fan text. And I even sent it out through the newsletter yesterday. So we also have some email responses to some of these questions. You're making a face, Sean.
These were really, really tough questions.
They were tough.
Really?
Yeah, thought-provoking.
There were not as many easy, just like, what's your favorite food that you could eat till eternity? Those weren't going viral. Everybody was
it's not KFC.
They were very, there was a lot
of... That's because your tweet yesterday, or your text. Your text on the group message, so I don't want to hear nothing back.
What's your favorite water park?
Yeah. Sorry, we're doing Ask Reddit here on 105.3 The Fan. Peyton's always super prepared for these, but he's answering phones right now, so I'm going to go to Chop.
All right.
Chop, you're going to get hit with this one first. What's something women say that you've learned to take with a grain of salt?
I'm done.
I'm done?
Yeah, what they say, I'm done.
Like
I'm
in
done.
An argument?
You're done with what? You done with the argument or relationship? Like, which one are you done with? I'm done. I'm done. Okay. Sammy, you say that on Jersey Shore. I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done, Ronnie. I'm done.
That's a good one.
That used to trigger me so bad with Chris. I had to tell her at one point, I was like, you got to stop saying that. Because she would, if she got worked up, she would always go, I am done. Done. And she would emphasize it the second one. I was like, you have no idea how much that gets under my skin. You've got to stop saying that if you want the argument to actually reach a resolution. Because I can't stand that. The easy answer here for what's something women say you've learned to take with a grain of salt is like, I'll be ready in 15. Or something along those lines. Just anything having to do with how quickly they can get ready is usually like, probably not. And I will end up.
The other day when we were going to this event in Arlington, I'm just waiting. You know, now I tell Amanda, I say, you call the Uber, you call the Lyft. I'm not, because if I call it, if I walk in, I'm terrified to say, should I call in like, you know, like 15? Should I call in like 10? And I'm terrified, you know, towards what her response will be. So then she comes out and she goes, 10 minutes for the car. And I said, do you want me to call it now, 10 minutes away, which I can't control? Or do you want me to wait 10 minutes to call?
Right.
And that could have turned into something. So I said, you know what? You call when you're ready. Go ahead and do it.
Some of the answers on the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys fan text, we're getting a lot of I'm fine or fine.
Oh, I'm fine is the number one probably.
That's a big one. Also, I saw this one on Reddit. I don't care what we eat or something along the lines of I'm not hungry, because they're always, I've learned if I say, hey, do you want anything? And she'll go, no, I'm good. It's like, all right, I'm going to order an extra fry because she will eat them. And if she doesn't, the kids will. But I'm not going to chance that she's going to cut into my fries. That's not going to work. Peyton, what's your answer for this question? In case you didn't hear it, we are saying, what's something women say that you've learned to take with a grain of salt?
When they say I'm not hungry, always a lie. They're hungry. You have to eat. Oh, no, I'm not hungry. I'm not hungry. It's like, okay, well, what do you want to eat? Oh, no, I'm not hungry. And then 10 minutes later, what are we going to eat? What are we going to eat? You're just not going to eat today? So and then I pick a place, and then it's like, oh, well, I don't want that. And I go, well, you just say you didn't. You were hungry.
So how do you guys decide dinner every night throughout the week?
Well, I go grocery shopping, so I pick the dinners out for the week. Oh. And then she just eats what's on the table.
Okay.
Wow.
So,
I like
Dino
it.
Nuggets.
Yeah. No.
I like the answer on the Twitch from, I think that's Jaime T. Says, do what you want. No, do not do what you want.
No.
That's
don't
a bad
do
idea.
It. We're doing Ask Reddit here on 105.3 The Fan. Peyton Russell, since you've got your pre-planned answers here, what phrase instantly infuriates you?
When people say, I could care less. That's not how you say it.
Yes!
That's not how you say it. It's, I couldn't care less. I cheated
off you. That's a good one.
I know.
That was mine.
I couldn't care less. Just say it right the first time. Because every time, when people tweet it out or something, they're going through, I go through people's replies or whatever, I see it, and I go, I could care less. I really want to reply and be like, I couldn't care less. Or if someone texts me, I want to respond back to them. It infuriates
me. So when we're out in public and someone says this, I'll just go, couldn't. And a man is the only one that knows what I'm doing. Like, no one's like, huh, what'd you say? I'll just say, couldn't. And you just try to correct them and be a smartass. But it doesn't infuriate me. It's just a minor pet peeve.
Yeah. First world problems.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, Diane, we live in a first world. Like, am I not allowed to complain? Like, everything is relative to the problems that we have. No, we don't have to worry about not having running water or indoor plumbing. Does this mean we can't complain?
Dr. Mark from Austin, Big Time Tolo, says his answer when he emailed back on the email that I sent out yesterday. He says, we need to talk is his answer of a phrase that instantly infuriates him. Yeah. I hate whenever anybody uses the... just the term conversation. I hate it. It makes my skin crawl. When it's used in the sense of like...
Let's have a conversation.
Let's have a conversation about this. Like when you're talking about in the talk show format or whatever. I hate it. Or when talking about like, it's part of the national conversation. Stop. It's
the Discord.
Yes. Gosh. That's an ick, as the kids say, Chop. Kids say that, ick, right? Yeah. They say ick. 956 says, at the end of the day. They hate that.
That's my dad's. That's one of his crutches.
214, whenever anybody says frustrated instead of frustrated.
Never frustrated. Heard that.
Oh, you've never heard frustrated?
Supposedly.
Oh,
frustrated?
Frustrated. There's a lot of people who cannot say frustrated.
I've never been the biggest fan of no regrets. I can't stand when people say that. I'm like, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. There's nothing you would go back. Because it led to this. It led me to here.
YOLO, baby.
What's that?
YOLO.
I'd never go back and change a decision. That's one of the dumbest thought processes I've ever heard in my entire life. It's so stupid.
Over on the Twitch, the Sethnicity says, why do you have a tone? That grates on him. And then Mike X Cowboy says, when somebody says pacifically instead of specifically.
My boy Jake does that, pacifically.
There's a lot of just yet. Not Jake
I said
Reba.
My boy.
All right, Sean Sharif, we're doing Ask Reddit.
Hey, I gave him some coffee cake this morning. He's my boy.
We're doing Ask Reddit here on 105.3 The Fan. Sean Sharif, what movie messed you up for days after watching it? Which one? The 1991?
The old one, yeah. That messed me up for life, not days, because no horror films for me.
You'll float too, Sean.
No horror films for me, man. I could maybe say like one of the Jason Freddies, like at a friend's group sleepover, and I'm like trying to like hide in the back underneath my sleeping, what are those things called? You tuck in.
Covers?
No, like a
sleeping bag.
A sleeping bag. I'm trying to sit there and hide in there. I can't do horror films, man. I cannot do them whatsoever. And then Anaconda. When I was young, I think I went with a girl to the movie theater to see this stupid movie, and that's why I try to avoid snakes on a plane.
Yeah.
Chop.
Fast Five. I can't believe Letty was still alive at the end.
Hey, spoiler.
I mean, it stuck with me for. Truthfully, I don't watch deep movies generally, and I don't really watch horror films. Like, I just avoid them at all costs. So I can't think of one that actually stuck with me for a few days. This is not my... I just don't watch those kind of movies.
The Twitch is blowing up with what was my answer. Who all gave this one? The Sethnicity, DFW Dad, and Macmillan 2093, 7. The ending to 7 is so brutal. Like, I did not see that coming at all. And when it hits, it's just like, gosh, that was dark. And there's no happy ending. The other one that messed me up when I was like 11 was when I saw Pay It Forward. That ending is, that's a totally sad movie where they like make you think like, oh, it's this uplifting thing where you pay favors forward and everybody's happy. And then the ending is not happy at all. Peyton, what movie messed you up?
Real quick, the 903 says Inside Out was theirs. And then my movie, The Shining. My parents liked watching it, and so when I was like 8 or 9, I was like, oh, well, let me watch it. You know, like, you know, I'll just watch it. And my parents were like, no, you won't like it. It's scary. And I was like, no, let me watch it. I got like halfway through. Done. Couldn't do it.
Over on the YouTube, Craig Mattingly says, Interview with a Vampire. Lil MF Mason says Blair Witch, and then Max says The Ring movie.
A lot of people coming up with Ring and Blair Witch on the fan text.
Blair Witch wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
I didn't think so either.
Yeah.
I didn't think so
either. Blair Witch was just, I think when it first came out, it was one of those, it was one of the first person ones where people weren't sure if that was this really found footage?
Yeah.
Like people, and so I think people thought it was real early on was another big part of it. We're doing Ask Reddit here on 105.3 The Fan. All right, I don't think Sean sent us one. Sean, did you send a song to Peyton?
No.
All right, well then I'll go with Choppy on this one. Chop, what is the best bleep you song out there?
I think there's only one correct answer for this one. I think it's the all-time number one GOAT revenge get back kind of song. Came out freshman year of college.
For you're me. So vain.
Not you're so vain. It's Alanis Morissette. There's no other answer.
Is this the Dave Coulier song?
Yeah, it's the Dave. Well, it's not really him. It's,
no,
I
know.
It's somebody, but that's the one they suspected of it.
Alanis Morissette, Jagged Little Pill era.
Man.
Did you just wear that CD out?
I didn't have the CD, but every girl I knew had the CD.
That created a bad group of girls, Alanis
It did.
Morissette.
Yeah. Yes. Very
not
bad
a fan group. Of that. I mean, my answer is what we did a couple weeks ago of the Tupac one.
Oh, Hit Him Up.
Hit Him Up.
Yeah.
Hit Him Up. I mean, that's... Or I thought you were going the all-time number one.
Peyton, what's
or
your...
Or I could say Kendrick Lamar.
Well, yeah, there's that one. That's a pretty big bleep you. Peyton, what is the best bleep you song out there?
I went with a, like, literal bleep you, and this is by Big Sean.
I don't know what I mean. With you.
I love this song.
This is what I went with, too.
Is it?
Yeah, this is it.
Literally, F you.
This is a great song. Yeah. The beat's fantastic, but just the whole energy throughout the whole song is just like... Not messing with you. Don't give a damn. I mean, the whole energy behind it is great. Of course, you remember the song, and then it was like, I can't remember, 02, 03 maybe? You remember that song by Eamon that was literally called Bleep You? And it was just, bleep what I said. It don't mean S now.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That was like one of the first songs, I think, to hit number one that had F word in the title.
Would people say, though, that Kendrick's is like the number one takedown ever?
Like diss song ever?
Yeah.
There'd be recency bias with that.
Yeah, it would be in.
It's Hit Him Up. It's Vaseline.
It'd be in the conversation. Yeah, no Vaseline. Hit Him Up. Ether. Bridges Over. Like it'd be stuff like that. All right, we're doing Ask Reddit here on 105 Through the Fan. RJ Choppy.
Bobby Bill.
What is 100% a myth about men?
Oh, that we can fix things, that every man can fix things, that every man can work on cars, that every man is manly.
Dude, my mother-in-law the other day, she tempted me. I was talking about, like, the pool equipment, you know, uh-huh. you mess with your own chemicals and stuff. I don't do that. And she's like, you really need to start thinking about, like, doing that. And I was, like, sitting back, like, I've known you now for about 7 years or something like that. I didn't do it at the last house. I'm not doing it at this house. I got my guy Earl and, you know, Austin. And she was flirting with getting on me over not messing with the pool. Fortunately, my father-in-law came in. He knows I'm a dumbass. And he's like, oh, you don't want to mess with the chemicals with the kids, all right? You don't want to play with the chlorine levels with the babies.
Burn their skin.
Going into that
eyes,
water.
Eyes, everything, yeah.
Like, yes. Sure. Here you go, Rudy.
Answer on the email response here. Edgar says that we're not smart. Like the just general stereotype of the dumb, bumbling, like...
The mimbo.
Dad or guy and a thing. The 100% myth about a man is... And I saw this one on Reddit and I was like, yeah, that's it for sure. It's the idea of just like, we're always primed and ready to go. You know what I mean? Sometimes I am tired.
Sometimes.
I really do
like
just
tonight.
Like...
tonight. Like, that's sciatica.
Yeah, the sciatica is going to be here. Oh, gosh, that was, I still.
Watching him walk to the elevator yesterday, I was dying laughing.
I get so.
Why are you limping?
I get so mad. Well, that was the calf, because I had gotten up the stairs.
You went down. Not up the stairs.
You went down the stairs. Up the stairs would have hurt my quads. Down the stairs would have hurt my calves. No, I still get so mad that I hooked up the Chris Young meet and greet for Kristen. And then we were standing outside at the venue.
This is before you hired Brett Boone?
Yeah, this was. And we had the I had the sciatic nerve issue. And so I didn't even get the benefit of, look, I hooked up this great night for you because I was in too much pain. I was like, I'm going to bed. That's what we're doing right here. Peyton, what is 100% a myth about men?
The stereotype that men are less romantic than women. You women are wrong out there. We are absolutely 100% more romantic than you guys. We plan the dinners. We plan the gifts. The parties. Everything.
What's the last romantic thing you've done for Mackenzie?
Valentine's Day. So what was that?
Oh, gosh, 3 months?
No, the Post Malone thing. I surprised her with Post Malone tickets. So there you go. I call that romantic.
I think a top one is that men don't cry. How about that?
Sure. Yeah.
I can get emotional. Thank goodness they don't have it on anymore. The guy on ESPN who did those.
Roy Firestone.
No, more recent. He'd do these kid special requests.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Rinaldi. No,
I know what you're talking about.
Tom Rinaldi.
Tom Rinaldi. This is always the sweater vest.
Tom Rinaldi. Man, those things could get me. Like music underneath of a story. Sometimes that can get me. You've had some sports cries in here over golf.
Yeah, Masters.
So maybe men don't cry, possibly.
817, that we don't listen. We're just selective. Is what they say. Let's hear. 817, that the idea that we don't know our kids enough to answer questions about them when they're at the doctor or the hospital.
Oh, that's a great one.
Kristen will all the time throw out, like, she'll be like, if I was gone, you wouldn't know the first thing to do, which I wouldn't. But I would be able to answer basic questions like their birthday and their social security number and different things like that.
Oh, I can. No way I could give you Ollie's social. No way.
Nope.
You know all your kids' socials?
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to read them on the air.
I think I may have at one point. I don't recall it anymore. I remember their phone numbers.
Well, that's good.
I know their phone numbers.
There's a lot of people who don't know phone numbers. My wife doesn't know my phone number.
Really?
Oh, I know your phone number.
I think I know your phone number.
She might. Like, she may have gotten in the last year, but every other time when you're on the phone with someone, like a service person, she's like, it's that, right? I'm like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know Sean's number. Because I started reading it on air one time and he got mad. Who do we got? Swaggy Booties on the Twitch says men are pigs. That's one. And
I don't
then
think that's a myth.
Over on the YouTube
look at his studio.
Over on the YouTube, Zach says that men don't have a say in relationships. All right, Ask Reddit here on 105 Through the Fan. Sean Shreve.
Actually, this studio I feel like has been cleaner over the past 6 months.
Yeah, it hasn't been bad. That's Broadus probably, because Broadus ends up. He'll clean up. He'll literally spray down with Lysol every single time. All right. Sean Shreve, what's a social norm you think will disappear in the next 50 years?
50 years?
Mm-hmm. So think, we'll be in 2075. What social norm will no longer exist?
I don't know. That's a really hard
dating.
One.
Dating. Yeah, like standard dating of going out on a date. Like, I mean, it's already starting to go away with the, like, we hear about these Zoom dates people are doing, different things like that. They don't seem to, like,
there's still advancement of the species.
How are people going to get together?
No, like, I mean, alcohol. I think that, like, I'm saying, I don't think they're going to have the traditional, like, dinner date, like, oh, we're going out on a date somewhere. Like, I think you're going to just exclusively, essentially, socially meet people through internet and through, like, over video conference and crap.
I think happy hours. Nobody's going to go out anymore. Kids just stay inside all day now. And then the fact that I assume sometime in the next 50 years, we will be a majority work from home society and remote work, at least. And most people you go to happy hour with are people from work.
But people are going back to work.
Now they are. But over the next 50 years, like, I suspect that we will.
Predicting some pandemics?
No, I'm just predicting that. People will find ways to cut costs, and one of those is going to be office space.
Susan, replying on the email, said people making videos everywhere. She thinks that's going to go away. The TikTok culture, I guess. Yeah, I mean, I could see. I mean, 50 years from now. I know she didn't say. She just said that was her answer.
You just said you agreed. You could see it.
No, I'm saying that I could see absolutely. Like, when you're talking about where anything is at in society, and there's so many people who are. Eventually, somebody's going to get. in trouble or it's going to become a bigger story. I'm surprised we don't have more confrontations and stuff where people are making videos and doing stuff for social content. That,
Alec Baldwin.
I think it's going to just become one of those things where people are like, that's too risky to try and just pull your prank videos all the time. Just put your phone up. Peyton?
Yeah, it's having to wait in line to pay for something. Everything will just be kiosk at that point. You know, 50 years from now, it'll just be no more lines. And I rarely go to in a line at the grocery store. I always go self-checkout, even if there is a little bit of a line. I just like doing everything myself. It's just easier.
The scan and go at Sam's Club is such a game changer.
Really?
You just use your phone with the app, scan the item, swipe, and it pays. You just walk out.
Fast food coffee, Amanda just, she's ordering it on her phone.
Yeah.
Like, so yeah, people... We're gonna lose a lot of customer service.
Yeah.
Everywhere. Like
food service industry.
Yeah.
All right. We got time for one more here. Ask Reddit on 105 through the Fan. This is perfect to start with Peyton on because I feel like there's nothing.
By the way, I don't love those self checkouts every time.
I hate them.
Three things, four things. If you have alcohol, it's a pain. You got to wait for someone to come. If you got 40 things, man, no. I want to be checked out.
If I'm shopping, I'm going to, like, I will never go through the self-checkout. No, I'm saying I will never go through the self-checkout if I've got, like, a basket full of stuff.
Yeah, but why?
Because I don't like the whole scan and wait or, like, item in the bagging area. Or, like, you fill it up and you put it in the bag and then you move it just to create more space. And it will go, please put back in the bagging area. And then it'll be like, an attendant needs to come over and clear.
I got two items at CVS the other day. I didn't want to put it in the bag, but it wouldn't let me do the second one until I put the first one in the bag.
That's so irritating. I can't stand it. Peyton, I feel like you don't censor yourself at all. So,
820.
This is a specific topic that I think fits you. What is a turnoff you will never tell a woman directly?
Any type of facial piercing. Nose, lip, like even the little stud. I've never found it attractive.
Really?
Yep. Won't tell her that if I was single and I talked to someone, I'm not going to say it, but like, you know, deep down, I don't like it.
Peach fuzz.
Yeah, I think once you're in a relationship, you could tell them just about anything. If it's stable relationship, a healthy relationship. Prior to that, you can't tell her that she smells.
I
just hand her a piece of gum.
That'll
work. No, for me, this one is, and we've argued about it on the show before. Like, does it matter? Does the nail upkeep matter? If you have busted nails or whatever, and you're just not said, I am just like,
I've never cared, but thank God for cost purposes, Amanda has now gotten these at home do-it-yourself nails.
Oh wow!
And it took 3 hours the other night. She put like too much whatever the hell super glue on. It was like 3 hours. We couldn't do anything until she tried to get these nails off. But it's better than going to that place every 2 weeks and paying tip on top of it. I love that, but I've never cared about the nails. But no, that upper lip peach fuzz. By
the way, what is the
that peanut butter ski?
When Peyton says he can't do any facial piercing, what's the top seed facial piercing
that the you best?
Do like? Yeah, that you do like. Is it the hoop in the nose for the girl?
It's not a hoop. It's got to be a stud.
I don't like a hoop.
If there's going to be anything, no lip ring.
I can't stand the septum piercing.
No eyebrow ring. You can't stand the what?
The septum piercing.
Oh. Like the bull, like a bulldog? A bull, yeah. That's right. All right, Ask Reddit every Tuesday at this time. Thank you for your participation on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line. Congrats to the Dierks Bentley ticket winner. We'll do it again tomorrow at 7:20. But huge news for the morning show. Our hump day buddy, Brett Boone, is the next hitting coach of your Texas Rangers. Choppy has it as a part of Diamond Cavs on the home of the Rangers next.